Good morning, everybody. I'm Caleb. I'm the student minister here at Campbellsville Christian Church. Pleasure to be with you today. We're gonna try some things out today, and hopefully it will not all fall to complete pieces. But if it does, we'll fall to pieces together, and it'll be a joy. It's Family Sunday, and I thought it would be kind of a fun thing. Like John said, we don't need to have something fun and different every Family Sunday. I thought it'd be fun to change it up a little bit and do maybe a bit of a game. I'm a student minister, so I automatically think of games, and that's just my job. And so we're gonna do a little local trivia. We're gonna play a little game I like to call Campbellsville Christian Church or Brothers. So if you're not from Campbellsville, if you're not born and raised here, you may not know about Druthers. Druthers is a magical place. It's the last Druthers, as any Campbellsvillian will tell you, with great pride in their hearts, and rightly so. It is one of the finest restaurants in town. Rachel and her family are here today. I'm not sure if they've been to Druthers, but we're going to go to Creekside after church, so we're still getting the right local taste. But this game's going to work real simple, a little trivia game. Gone back and forth on how to do it. I think the way that we should do it, we're going to show a factoid, and then the place that it represents. If you're going to raise up your left hand, we'll say left hand if you think the answer to this is Campbellsville Christian Church, and then your right hand if you think the answer to this is Druthers. And if you get it wrong, everybody around you is going to know, and they're going to make fun of you. Okay. All right, John, hit us up with the first one. Okay, established in 1884. Established in 1884. What do you think? You know, left hand Campbellsville Christian Church, right hand Druthers. You know, you'd think it's a simple question, but maybe I'm asking it because it seems like a simple question, but it's not. All right, what's the answer for that one? Oh yeah, that's Campbellsville. That was Campbellsville Christian Church. All right, we're starting easy. You like that transition up there? I've worked hard on that. Okay. All right, bring us up the next one, John. Okay, this is a geography one. I'm bad at geography. Located at 101 North Columbia Avenue. What do we think? Is that Campbellsville Christian Church, Druthers? If you're bad at geography like me, you might not know. What's the answer to that one? It is. That is Druthers. If you haven't been there, write that down. I don't know if they're open on Sunday. I did not check. But just write that down. Okay, what's our next one? Has great coffee, huh? All right, now we're going to see where our loyalties lie. Okay? All right? I'm seeing some different hands. I'm noting. All right, what's the answer to that one, John? It's actually Campbellsville Christian Church. Okay? And here's the thing. Druthers coffee is not good, but it is poetic. Okay? There's a certain ambiance. It's diner coffee. It's not supposed, if it was great, it would ruin the experience. It's supposed to just be diner coffee. But our coffee is excellent. Now we got mugs and everything. It's a great experience. Okay, what's our next one? Okay. A place where people gather to be fed. Okay, John. I see what you're doing, John. That's kind of a complicated one. We could see that one going either way. All right. Well, let's not. Well, you can keep your hands down for this one. We're gonna see past John's clever ruse here. Let's just pass to the next one. A place where different preferences are attended to so people can be happy with what they've received. Okay, this seems like maybe this was it. This seems like, and there's not, if you're especially astute, you'll notice there's not even room for an answer up there. This seems like this was it. Let's just pass. Let's pass to the next one. We know a visit was successful by whether our preferences were met and our personal appetites were satisfied. Next, let's pass that one. Let's pass. Can order a large ladle of gravy for $2.38. That's a Druthers, people. That's a Druthers. Okay, that's on the menu. Large ladle of gravy. If you have a restaurant and on the restaurant menu is large ladle of gravy, send me to that restaurant. Druthers, best breakfast plate in the world. When I arrived in Campbellsville, it was $4.59. And when I went Thursday, it was $5.99. I don't care. Best breakfast plate in the world. Be $12 anywhere else. I have to ask 6 times what all the options are because I forget every time. And best breakfast plate, worst outdoor speaker. It is inscrutable. Whatever the lady on the inside says, it spits out an Egyptian hieroglyph. There's no way to know what on earth is being said in that thing. We have more questions. Okay, more questions. All right. I can't read that up there. We can shop around at competing institutions if our preferences are not consistently met, comparing different offerings, specials, and programs that fit our interests. John, where are you getting these slides? You trying to set me up? Comparing different offerings, specials, and programs that fit our interests. Yeah, let's
go to the next.
Not, let's hands down. And then if we want to stick around, we can speak with management and try to get changes made that will better satisfy how we want things to be done. I'm just going to keep my eyes right up there and not make eye contact with anybody. That's seems like it. Home of the Royal Burger. Okay, Home of the Royal Burger. That was Druthers. I think it's Druthers. So, my friends, do you ever feel like maybe we're getting church wrong? Do you ever feel like maybe we're just getting church wrong? And maybe when we come in on a Sunday morning, maybe we've got some expectations that are a little misplaced. Maybe some of our expectations would be more appropriate to a local and glorious restaurant rather than the living, breathing body of Christ. Now, are we different from any other business in town? Do we come to this building just because what happens on the inside, it suits our preferences better than competing institutions elsewhere in town? Or perhaps because it used to suit our preferences better, and maybe we're still hopeful that if we apply the right pressure, the right place to the right person, that we can get it back to the way it was. Are we here because it's a family tradition and it's just what we do? And my grandpa was here, my dad was here, and so I'm going to come here too. Do we decide whether our trip here was successful based on whether or not we leave feeling well? Are we just looking to get a reasonably nice feeling return on whatever our investment was, whether that's time or money or effort or whatever? Basically, the question is this. On a Sunday morning at Campbellsville Christian Church, is there something more that binds us together than whatever it is that binds together the couple hundred people seeking the best breakfast plate in town? Is there something different about our community at Campbellsville Christian Church than the community on a Monday morning at Druthers? I think there ought to be. But I think maybe we come to church with an approach that is in many ways misdirected. We may be expecting some wrong things when we come into the room. And I think this comes from a variety of places. I think this comes from a really complicated history of the church that's led us here. I think this comes from the incredible power of American commercialism. And yes, I'm a millennial on stage complaining about American commercialism. But it is, we want what we want, and we want it when we want it, and if we don't get it, we're going to go down the street and get it in Jesus' name. Right? This is, hallelujah, thank you. This is what we're raised on. And there's something, we have a feeling of righteousness about it. It's not even just that we can do it, it's that we feel so good when we do it. No, I think there's some strain of this that comes from our Protestant tendency to just fracture over basically anything. And to demonize those that we have left behind. I think some of this comes from how we pastors have been taught and formed. We've had decades of big ticket Christian leadership conferences, flying out entrepreneurial bigwigs from the business world, telling us, how to line up our demographics and how to make sure we're targeting the right people in our community and saying the right things and making sure that our presentation is bigger and our programs are better so that we can get bigger and better too. And I think that's formed us as well. And I think most importantly and most frighteningly, we have arrived at this place because we have stopped believing that the good news of Jesus Christ is the most powerful force this world has ever known. As if it's not, we just go down the street. And I love a large ladle of gravy, as much as the next person here, if not more. But I think maybe our approach to church sometimes is a little too much like our approach to brothers. And so we've got the opportunity. We have the opportunity for the next number of weeks to look in the book of Philippians. And in the book of Philippians, we are going to look at how Paul thinks about the church. He's a pretty reasonable fellow to consult if we're going to ask how we should be approaching church. And Paul writes this powerful letter to the Philippian community. He writes this to a community of congregations who they've all got their own problems. And they're in their own world that's falling apart. And it's falling apart differently than our world is falling apart. But make no mistake, their world was falling apart too. And so we're going to look at how Paul thinks about this. And with God's grace, we're going to learn from it. And maybe even change. And I think and I pray that what we learn here will inspire us to recognize that what is going on in this room, what the Lord is up to in this place, what he invites us to join into is much more exciting, compelling, and life-changing than even the finest of breakfast plates. I think that what is going on in the church is worth being excited about and worth our investment. So we're going to read together Philippians 1, the first 11 verses. I'm just going to read it out here for us. Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. And I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And it is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. Whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless on the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus to the glory and praise of God. So this is the letter that Paul writes to the church in Philippi. And the first phrase that stuck out to me, and perhaps it stuck out to you as well, is this. Partnership in the gospel. When Paul talks to the church, he refers to the church as partners in the gospel. And partnership is a powerful word. This is Paul's default image of what the community of faith is. He says that they're partners. Now, to have partners, you need a task that you're both working toward. Something that needs accomplishing, whether that's a task or a vision or some goal that you're working toward together. If you're partners, you got to have a shared. And the Greek word here, one that's already come up in our Sunday school in a very strange way. The Greek word here that we want to talk about is the word koinonia. And it's just a cool Greek word. The baseline definition of this in the Greek lexicon is this. It's close association involving mutual interests in sharing. It's association, communion, fellowship. It is a favorite expression for the very most intimate relationships that can exist between human beings. It's often used even to describe marital relationships. Sometimes there's an economic element in this. One commentator translated Paul's image here as that of shareholders. It said, you're shareholders of the gospel. And so what is the grounding? What is the shared purpose and the shared foundation of this partnership? It is the gospel. It's the gospel. He says, you are my partners in the gospel. And Paul uses the same phrase once again in verse 7. He says that you also are partners in God's grace. You're partners together with me in God's grace. And NIV said sharers of God's grace. Same Greek word. And so it's the gospel and God's grace that is the founding and grounding of our partnership, our intimate fellowship, our community that has a cause. And this is a John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches sort of relationship that Paul is referring to when he speaks to the church. And this brings to mind a number of the other images that Paul uses to describe the faithful community in this passage. You'll notice that the first way that Paul and Timothy describe themselves is as servants. It's not really a lofty thing to be a servant. It's the same word as slave. Paul and Timothy say they're servants of Jesus Christ. We also find that Paul is a prisoner. And in this setting, Paul is probably a prisoner in Rome. And it seems like Paul is always writing from prison because Paul is always writing from prison. But that's part of Paul's partnership language. He says that you are partners with me even in my chains, he says. So this is a pretty powerful image when you combine these different images together of partnership, of servanthood, of even being a prisoner. We see that Paul thinks of the church as a group of people bound together by gospel and by grace, working steadfastly and joyfully through hardship toward the righteous purposes of God. It's a group working together toward the righteous purposes of God. And here's the thing. You don't get that walking into Druthers. It's a magical place, but you don't get that walking into Druthers. You know, it's not worth being a servant at Druthers. Like, you're going to want some compensation. Okay? It's not worth it be a servant in Druthers. It's certainly not worth being a prisoner for the sake of Druthers. I love it, but I do not love it that much. And here's the thing, is you can't be a partner at Druthers. You can just be a customer. You can't be a partner at Druthers. You can only be a customer. Now, if you go back into the kitchen and grab a metal spatula and start getting to work, you're going to be asked to leave. And I don't. It's like there's an interview process to go through, and there's going to be some paperwork that needs to be signed, FDA purposes and things like that. And it's kind of a shame because it's kind of a magical place. There's a very interesting environment that the ladies at the back of the Druthers have going on. I went on Thursday to get the breakfast plate. Don't know if I've mentioned the breakfast plate. Best breakfast plate money could buy. And the ladies, this has never happened to me before. The ladies kept repeating the phrase, "I can do it." This is strange. Is this a thing that's just happened today, or is this part of the new Druthers marketing campaign? Druthers, I can do it. I go around to the counter and I get my coffee. It's not great, but it's poetic. I get my coffee and lady at the counter says, "Hey, can I get you anything for your coffee? I love some cream." She said, "I can do it." Oh, wow. Well, what if I want to do it too? Well, I can't. You can't. Because you can only be a customer. You can only be a customer. You can't be a partner there at Druthers. And this idea of customer is the exact opposite of the way that Paul describes the church. It's the exact wrong posture to take in the church. God did not call us to be customers of Christ, but rather partners in the gospel. Not customers, but partners. I'm really afraid that we become customers of Christ. And the thing is, that's not even a real option. It's not like a thing that exists. It's an impossibility. But I think we've settled for it anyway. Remember what we talked about earlier about how we got to this position, that it's our mistaken approaches come from a whole mess of of influences and American consumerism and Protestant fragmentarianism and pastors being raised with business ideas. And we said that most importantly and most frighteningly, it bears repeating that we have arrived here because we have stopped believing that the good news of Jesus Christ is the most powerful force that the world has ever known. And there's one extra influence that I want to throw to you, and I want to throw it to you because I think it will make some of you mad, and I think that it will be a fruitful sort of anger that it brings to us. Satan exists. And if Satan does exist, I strongly suspect that he is less concerned about customers than he is about partners. Right? I don't think customers frighten Satan very much. I think a partner might. I think a participant, a shareholder, a servant, a prisoner, I think that might. There's a bit of a different level of investment, right? We're not invited to become a customers. We're invited to be shareholders, servants, maybe even prisoners, but definitely partners, bound up and directed in the power of the all-conquering gospel of the kingdom of God against which the gates of hell tremble. It's a very different image than a customer. And the second thing I want us to pick up on is this, that God calls us together. He calls us together. Now, everybody's favorite line in this first chunk of Philippians is verse 6, and rightly so. It's a beautiful sentence. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Isn't that good? He who began a good work in you will carry it on until the day of Christ. To completion until the day of Christ Jesus. But here, my friends, is the secret knowledge that will wreck it every time you think to send this verse to a friend who's going through a struggle. So the secret is that Paul wrote Philippians with a Kentucky accent. And actually, he says, he who began a good work in y'all will carry it on to completion. That's a plural there. That is a plural. He is not saying he who began a good work in you, individual person reading this. He's saying he who began a good work in y'all, the collected, unified body of Christ, aligned in partnership, not in customership, God will carry that work on to completion. And you can still send this to a friend who's in the struggle. It's a true sentiment. We see through Scripture that God is faithful to people individually too. But this verse is about God's faithfulness to the church, not just to me, myself. And this is a struggle at Druthers as well. You know, I feel some brotherly love toward the ocean of locals who are packed in on a Thursday morning to get a sausage biscuit with tomato. Y'all know you can get a tomato on a sausage biscuit? Talk about a glow-up. That is powerful medicine. You know, just try it. Again, I don't know if they're open on Sunday, but go try it. Go try it sometime. It's a beautiful thing. But at Druthers, all of us yearning after breakfast goodness, we're not a community. You would never walk into that place and say, I am at one with these people. No, it's not a community. It's a group of people who are after something. And they might even be after the same thing, but that doesn't make them a community. And God help us. If this church could ever be described the same way, God help us. If we're just here after the same thing, if we're just here looking to get fed and we happen to be doing it together, I think our eye is firmly off the ball. The church is not about me getting fed. The church is about joining together to glorify God and to accomplish his purposes in the world. And if that is done, that will all not always result in me feeling satisfied. It will not. If I exit this building feeling satisfied every Sunday, I should probably be concerned because perhaps I have deafened my ears to what the Lord is seeking to do in me. And this togetherness that Paul talks about is essential. The church is the body of Christ. I am not the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. You know, the gates of hell laugh when they see me charging over the hill toward them, but they tremble when they see the church. today, it is easy for us to feel how vast is the brokenness of the world. It's very easy to feel. And I am not nearly enough to make any difference in that vastness. Because I'm not God's plan to make a difference in that vastness. But we are. Together in partnership in the gospel and in God's grace, we can do much. And so, how on earth do we do this? How do we, a collection of very different people, join together in some sort of meaningful way to glorify God and to accomplish his purposes? By moving from my affections to Christ's affections. And this, like, well, the Greek word here for affection in whichever verse that is in verse 8. It is splanchnon. Great Greek word, splanchnon. But it has to do with, it's your guts. It sounds like a word that would mean guts. It's how Christ feels about you in his gut. It's not about how he thinks he's supposed to feel about you. It's what Christ, when Christ pictures your mind, he's omniscient, he's always picturing your face, but when he pictures your face, it's the first reaction he has, which is, let me tell you, it is a different reaction than I have when I picture your face, no matter how much I like you. My affections are too weak. They're too flimsy. They can change depending on the day, depending on how I'm feeling and how I slept, depending on what you have most recently interacted with me on. Christ's affections are firm. His love is powerful, and it does not shake or change. And one of the, well, Paul, okay, I'm glad I wrote this down because I would have forgotten to say it. Paul says he longs for the church of Philippi with the affections of Christ. Paul was a guy with a lot of opinions. Okay? Paul was not... I often have thought that Paul and I would not have gotten along very well because I think I'm too nice for Paul. Paul was kind of a harsh guy sometimes. And yet he yearns for this church, not with his own affections, but with the affections of Christ. He allows his affections, his feelings, to be disciplined and formed by the affections of Christ. And one of the great hallmarks of the church through time is that its unity crosses all social boundaries, all social barriers. The church is the most socioeconomically, racially, geographically, politically diverse movement that has ever existed, ever. And that's not an opinion, that is just objective fact. And where our congregation does not match that description, perhaps we have come short of God's goal for his church. Perhaps our affections are forming this community more than Christ's affections. And thank God that even in our own failures, the Lord moves forward, but it's something to consider. This partnership in the gospel, powered by God's grace, unified in the affections of Christ, this is our business, Paul writes, until the day of Christ's return. Paul says, this is our business until the day of the Lord's return. There's a lot of talk about the end times going on right now, and honestly, it has caught me off guard a bit. If you're interested in what the scripture says about the end times, I think this is where you should start. Probably not where you expected you might start, but I think this is where you should start. It may also be where you should end, and it's gonna cover up a lot of the middle time too. This is what Paul says. Paul says that God will be faithful to his work to and through the church, that he will bring about mighty gospel work through it, and that as our love abounds in knowledge and discernment, we will be found pure and blameless at Christ's return, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And this is our work. This is our task as we wait for the return of Christ. And I would suggest humbly that we're likely to get more out of this, and God is likely to get more out of us, if we really focus on this a little more than trying to figure out whether or not Vladimir Putin is Gog or Magog and whatever else people are saying these days. Okay? And it's important that we know what we're doing. It's important that we know what we're doing here, in this room. If we don't know what we're doing, if we're just customers of Christ, why would we ever sacrifice anything for this? Why bother? I am not serving others for druthers. Just because it rhymes does not mean I will do it. I'm not being uncomfortable for druthers. I can go to Creekside. I can get the local flavor. It's not worth it to me. That's the opposite. I go to druthers to be comfortable. But why do I come to church? If church is just like druthers, I just want to go home. And I really mean that. I really mean that. If church is just like druthers, I would rather go home. But if church is a movement that is changing the world, that would be worth sticking around for. If this is a part of a kingdom that brings life from death, if this is a community that is part of an eternal promise, and if it is God's project and not mine, with his aims and not mine, guaranteed by his promise and not mine, then that would be worth partnering. God did not send a consumer product into the world to exercise his will. God sent you to a broken and hurting world. God sent you. And he sent you with us. He sent us to partner in the gospel, together as Christ's living body, bringing his life and goodness to bear on a world in desperate need of them. So let's pray. Lord, we come to you as a group that you've brought together, improbably. And we are not going to get it right most of the time, and we are so thankful that you are a God who is never intimidated by the shortcomings of those with whom he works. But Lord, would you teach us how to be here? Would you just teach us how to be here? Because we've gotten all sorts of influences that are pushing us in directions that are just not helpful. Would you teach us what it means to be a partner in your gospel? What it means to be a shareholder of your grace? That the person across the room who we don't know, or the person across the room who we don't like, is not just a person in this room trying to get the same thing we're trying to get, but rather is an eternal partner chosen by your grace, sent forth in your gospel. Would you teach us how to work together to accomplish your aims, your purposes? Would you give us grit so that we do not fly off and flee after something easier and more pleasing when things get challenging? Would you teach us to serve? Would you teach us to expect more? Lord, I'm thankful for this community, this family that you've placed me in. Help me to love them well. Help us to love each other well. With your affections and not ours. Pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.